today on Real Radio.
Look, she's got her father's head, or look, she's got her mother's eyes, or look, or whatever, she, in a matter of seconds after the child is born. Now we have a culture telling us not to be so quick in the delivery room when you see your child to assume, because they have the gender parts, that they're actually a male or a female. And the experts have thought this up. If somebody comes to you as an expert, watch out.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In part three of What is Our Sexuality, Pastor Jack concludes with What is Unnatural Sexuality? This is not a new issue in our human culture. The lust of the flesh and for things of this world have been a battle since ancient times. But God designed us in His moral likeness so we can lead a pure and blessed life. He reminds us throughout His Word of the devastating results of living outside His purposes and how it can cause not only emotional and physical anguish, but eternal consequences as well. Still, no matter how far you may have fallen into perversion, God's reach is deeper still, with love and forgiveness for all manner of sin. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The Bible tells us that sin shall not have dominion over us as believers. We've got the power now of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you're not a Christian today, you don't have any power to resist. The Bible says that you're on your own. You're out from the covering of God and you're alienated from God. And let's be honest, when you're in the world, you hope you get tempted. That's what you're living for in the world. And then Christ comes into your life and your whole thinking changes and a light comes on. I received a note from a friend of mine who owns a broadcast company, and it came out of the association, I forget what it's called, but it's something like the Association of Broadcasting in England. And it just came out last week. And there's an argument going on at one of the conferences, and they were saying that Christianity needs to be curtailed because it cannot prove what it declares in the conversion of people. It claims that people can be converted and changed. But they said that can't be proven. And my buddy was telling me about this, and I said, are you kidding me? I can bear testimony of myself. But when you go to bear testimony of yourself, they exclude it because you being a Christian, we don't know if it's true or not. So they're trying to negate your witness, your testimony. And in fact, he gave me the paperwork. He gave me the transcripts to it. It's hard to imagine. So listen, church, as we look at this, as we think about this tonight, whatever has gone on in your life, keep that in mind as we go through this study. God can forgive you. If you find yourself tonight being convicted, the Holy Spirit, look, and let me tell you, it's going to feel like there's a red light on your forehead. Nobody can see it. That's God speaking to you. He's going to say, listen, that's you, and this has got to get fixed. Don't run from Him. Know that He loves you and that He wants to repair or fix or change you, make you a brand new person. You can be changed. I'm living proof of that. You can be changed. And I can tell you right now, the heart, the mind changes in an instant. Some things, by the way, isn't it amazing for some of us who came to Christ, he fixed some things instantly, and then some things a little quicker, or a little slower, I should say, and then some things, why is it some things, I've been a Christian for 35 years, why do some of the things, I'm still battling some of those things. Why is that? If I don't take the Bible on a daily basis and cover up my temper, oh my goodness. Why is that, huh? Why do we battle those things? My friends, listen, every one of you who are Christians are going through some form of a battle, and rejoice in it, first of all, knowing that you're alive now in Christ. Before, you didn't have that battle. You yielded. And ultimately, in the end, when you and I drop dead or we get raptured, if something ruptures or we get raptured, when that happens, we have no longer any worry of sin. this carcass, this body, and the things that it's prone to entertain will be gone away. What a glorious day. Come, Jesus, come. Here we go. What is unnatural sexuality as we look at this in light of our Bible? Number one is this. It is unauthorized sexual conduct. Will you write that down? And as you do this, think about your culture and think about the life and the world in which you and I live in. The Bible provides the list of those things in Scripture of sexual offenses, of things that are abhorrent to God. And what's amazing is that the actions involved also cause, listen, unauthorized sexual conduct causes great emotional trauma to people, physical trauma, and perhaps most importantly, but rarely ever recognized, spiritual trauma to those involved. God warns us because He loves us. As we teach in this, go through this study and teach on it tonight, keeping in mind that the context of our study is we are a bunch of people here right now that believe in God. We believe that He's created us. We believe that He has made us. And so when we give these arguments, we believe them to be true because not only of experience, but most importantly, what the Bible has to say. Number one is this. It is a violation against another person. Unauthorized sexual conduct is a violation against another person. That's why, listen, that's why God invented marriage. God says, I want you to have sex. I want it to be normal. I want it to be blessed. I want you to be excited about it, and I want it to be fulfilling. And by the way, all of the spiritual benefits of it are amazing. God says there's a natural way, but the Bible also says that there's an unnatural way. And the first thing is when it's done outside of God's command, it's a violation against another person. The Bible calls it defrauding your brother or your sister. Listen to this. To defraud your brother or sister or another human being for sexual gratification, if I want you for my sexual gratification, then I am using you to the core in the extreme because I will sacrifice you for my pleasure. Church, is the world not living like that today? They're not even shy about it anymore. Generally speaking, sexual sin is taking your body and using it in a way that is unsanctioned or unauthorized by God Himself. I mentioned rape earlier. Incest is another thing. Sodomy, the Bible lists that. And the Scriptures tell us these sins in the Old Testament, aren't you? You're going to be glad you're sitting here right now. These sins in the Old Testament, God said, must be punishable by death when they're found out. You say, man, that's yikes. Listen, people who are involved in these sins today, the sin is not punishable by death like it was in the Old Testament. That's not true now. Listen, God's word in the Old Testament is true, but the punishment that's levied is no longer the same. Listen up, everybody. The reason why there's a difference between Old Testament punishment and New Testament grace for now is not the kind of grace that will never address the punishment. The punishment's coming later if we don't repent of it now. Did you hear that? Why is the God of the Old Testament so uptight and really killing, going around, slapping everybody around? Answer, because Jesus had not yet come. Righteousness was being established among many other reasons. You and I live on this side of the cross. And God in His mercy, you ever felt like God's not being merciful to you or kind to you? Stop right there, put a sock in that. And realize that for 2,000 years, God has not wet His sword of judgments. He's been patiently waiting. When someone does something wrong and evil, don't you want to see judgment come down to that person? And then you, how come God, why do bad people keep living? Why doesn't God kill them? For the same reason why He doesn't kill you and me. The Bible says His wrath is coming, but He's patient. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in mercy, but He's waiting. It's going to come someday, my friend. But what you want to do is get your life right with Christ now and have all of the past forgiven. That's called repentance. That's called coming to Jesus. But it's a violation against another. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 4, in the New Living Translation makes it very clear. Paul says there, let each of you will control your body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passions as the pagans do. That means they're governed by those things. In their ignorance of God and in way and his ways. Listen, verse 6. Never cheat a Christian brother or sister. I'm adding sister because it goes each way. Don't think that it's just one way. A Christian brother or a Christian sister in this matter by taking his wife or her husband. For the Lord avenges all such sins as we have solemnly warned you before. God has called us to be holy, not to live impure lives. Listen, maybe you're single tonight and you're just men. You love, you know, I want to get married. Pray and get married. There's people who are single, they don't care. They don't have that problem. They don't have that concern. And the Bible says if you're married, stay married and make it work. You say, man, I wish that would work in my home. Well, okay, first of all if it's a non-Christian home, just one person can get saved and everything starts to change. It's amazing. If both of you are saved and you're having a rough marriage, what's the deal? Surrender. You're both battling each other. Give it up. Let me tell you, been married 33 years. You're not gonna win. It's not gonna happen. 2 Corinthians tells us, chapter 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Look at this. This is amazing. "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." That's where we say, "I want this no matter what God says." The Bible says we have the power to cast that down. "Bringing every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ." Unauthorized sexual conduct is the violation against another. Next, it is this. It is an abomination to God, says the Bible. An abomination. You never hear that word anymore. It's an abomination. Unauthorized sexual conduct is an abomination. Jesus said he came to fulfill, listen, the law and the prophets. Why do I say that? Because many people today will say, I'm living this lifestyle that God did not approve of in the Old Testament. And Paul the Apostle, he didn't approve of it. But I'm just going to stick with the words of Jesus and keep doing my thing because that's what I want to do and that's cool with me. Well, the Bible says Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets, all of it. What does that mean? That means that Jesus is in agreement with the entire Old Testament as well. And so in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, we read it a moment ago, that God created us male and female. Verse 28 says to be fruitful, to multiply, and to fill the earth. God says this is how it works. And what God did was create Adam and Eve in a marital relationship. God had been in marriage. You're not going to go down to the Mercedes-Benz dealer and grab a Mercedes-Benz and say, you know, I'm going to run it this way. I'm going to put water in the transmission. I'm going to put, you know, peanuts in the gas tank, and I'm going to drive it. No, you're not. You can try it. It ain't going to work. Is it such a difficult thing for our culture to realize? I guess it is. That God is the creator of us, and that he's the creator of marriage, and is the creator of sexuality. And he has a prescribed way. Now listen to this, mark it down. I cannot go there for the entirety of it, so read it later. Leviticus chapter 18 gives a list of sexual combinations, is the best way I can put it, sexual combinations that God has said is unnatural sexuality. Boy, go there, read it later, but things like this. Incest. Step families. Mixed, blended families. Where the Bible addresses if a blended family comes together, that this person cannot have sex with that person because now that's his sister or that's your brother. It's all listed in Leviticus 18. And why does God say that? Because he doesn't want you to kill yourself. He doesn't want you to destroy yourself. That God is holy and he's got a pattern. Unnatural sexuality. It's all listed there in the various combinations, and you can study that later. Leviticus 20, verse 13 says, if a man lies with a male as he lies with a female or a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. That's the Old Testament. It's still a sin today, but God's mercy and grace extends an outreached arm and a beckoning voice, come and be forgiven. And you may be forming an argument in your head right now, and you want to talk to me afterwards that what I'm doing is not a sin because, just hang on, I'm not done yet. It is an unauthorized sexual conduct this way. Thirdly, it is a sin against your own person. You ever think about that? It's a sin against your own person. The Bible says so. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. Listen to this. For this is the will of God, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Wow, that word is porneia. It's sexual acts outside of marriage. God says, the Bible says, don't get involved in that. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel, your body, in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles or unbelievers who do not know God. See, if you want to argue about this, but when we don't know God, our body appetites drive our thinking, drives everything. Is that like strange to say? Is it not true? That when you don't know Christ, your bodily passions, look, it could be your bodily passions to be influential with power. It could be a bodily passion where your ego is stroked for having this or that, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's not having God in your life and pursuing things that are of the flesh. The context is that we're looking at is physical pursuits. Promiscuity is destroying people in their bodies. It's destroying people in their hearts and their minds. Marriage counseling is predominantly made up of situations where the couple comes in and almost always it has to deal with issues of the past that they just could not get over, and so often it's with other people. It's a spiritual factor, and it's a truth, and it hurts, and it's a sad thing. And 1 Corinthians 6:18, listen to this. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee sexual immorality, for every sin a man does is outside the body. Listen to this. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Guys, that's what the Bible says. Is it true or false? It's true. The second thing is this. Point number two tonight is this. What is unnatural sexuality? It is this. It is unauthorized indoctrination. Unauthorized indoctrination. And what I mean by that is this. It starts here. There's always another agenda. There is always another agenda. I mentioned earlier about pagan worship cultures where they do this kind of thing. When we talk about unnatural sexuality, church, this is going to now get into the more shocking stuff. And I don't do it for shock factor. I do it because this is where you're living. Very few people will speak up about what's taking place in our culture today. It's in the music, it's in the movies, it's in the magazines, it's in the newspapers, it's in the schools. And that is this thing of unnatural sexuality and the unauthorization of, or unauthorized indoctrination. There's always going to be an agenda. Proverbs 22, we touched on it last week in closing. Mark this down. It is brilliant because it's the Bible. God is brilliant. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go. We've all heard the verse. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Maybe you think that verse means just give your kids Bible verses while they grow up, and if they backslide or if they have not yet accepted Christ, someday they'll become a Christian and it's all going to be well. It may take a while, but great. It's not what it means. It means, in fact, often when I dedicate a child, I will often pray, Lord, bless the parents to give them the ability to study this child like a book. That's what that means. You look at your child, you study your child, you know your child, and you as a parent, you begin, look, every kid's different. I don't understand. A husband and wife can have three kids. They all come the same way. They're made the same way. They come out of the same place. Are any of them the same? How does that happen? Absolutely different. Why? Because they're absolutely unique to God and unique to us. And so you study your child, and that child will be someone that you are to get to know. And you study them. And God gives you a big help. When you meet your child for the first time, in fact, I remember, I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, but Lisa and I, we did not know either because I don't remember if the technology was around back then or we chose not to know. I don't remember. Doesn't matter. But we were so sure that our firstborn child was going to be a boy that we went and had a name plaque made. The room was painted. We were sure. And so our doctor, Dr. Lindsay at the time at St. Joseph's Hospital, he knew what we were all excited about. And so when the baby was being born, you know, I had the camera, everything, we were ready to go. And the baby comes out and he holds up the baby and he goes, "He's a girl." And Lisa and I went, "What?" He said, "He's a girl." And we're so excited. We're so freaked out. We said, "Well, which is it?" And you know what sealed the deal for us? It was no longer a mystery. When you saw her, it was clear she was a she. And we're very glad it turned out that way. But you knew. It sounds funny, but our culture's lost this. Some of you who don't know this, you're going to think I'm joking. When you see that you just received into this world a little girl, the first thing that happens is, isn't she cute? She's not, but to the parents, I guess so, okay. They look like little aliens or something, right? Look, she's got her father's head, or look, she's got her mother's eyes, or look, or whatever, she, in a matter of seconds after the child is born. Now we have a culture telling us not to be so quick in the delivery room when you see your child to assume because they have the gender parts that they're actually a male or a female. And the experts have thought this up. If somebody comes to you as an expert, watch out. God said in the beginning, did he not, in this message, "I've made them male and female." When parents begin to infuse into a child's brain confusion, which why would a parent do that? That's evil in my sight. Then you're opening up a door to an incredible amount of danger and damage. No, the Bible says train up a child in the way that he or she should go. You study the child. And listen, you affirm their gender. You affirm their sexuality. And I know many of you are not being taught this in school anymore. You're being taught right now currently in this state. Now, don't be so quick to assign a gender to that person that looks like a boy. This is our state. This is our nation now. What's under attack? Everything that's under attack, I see in Genesis chapter 1. It's all there in the first chapter of the Bible, which leads me to conclude the Bible's under attack, ladies and gentlemen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called "What is Unnatural Sexuality?" A study on the role of sexuality in our Christian faith. Today's lesson was just one in our series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens. Thanks for listening. It's our desire that the more you understand biblical worldviews, the deeper your understanding of God's will and purpose for your life. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, a lot of folks subscribe to the Real Life Devotions, and a lot of folks are writing in telling Pastor Jack just how much of a difference the Real Life Devotions has made in their lives. Here's a letter from Charmaine from Melbourne, Australia. "We are a group of mums from Melbourne, Australia, who listen, download, and discuss your sermons and podcasts on a weekly basis. You've inspired us to look deeper and to question more. Thanks for being a light to the nations. We sure need it as much in Australia as you do in the USA." Charmaine from Melbourne, Australia. Isn't that great? If you'd like to get the devotions, just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Get the devotions downloaded to your email inbox on Monday and use it throughout the rest of the week. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.